question.
Okay, we are on Kufiyot Zayin Amud Aleph. I'm going to start near the bottom of the daf, where the two dots are Imachmata Gazlan Chayav, about eight lines from the bottom. We'll quickly read the Mishnah, and then we'll move on to that. Refuah Shlema for the week, and Yilon Nishmat. Refuah Shlema the David Avram Ben Miriam, Tvorah Bat Dina, Or the Pnei Baruch Hafrida, Yael Miriam Bat Chaya, Yaakov Ben Rosa, David Ben Golda, Daphne Chaya Bat Sari, Lana Mir Bat Dina, Reza Bat Pesha, Yilon Nishmat Chana Bat Avram Bat Atar, Tzvi Hirsch Ben Yaakov Alevi Umele, Yasa Ben Tzvi HaKohen, Oz Avram Shimon Ben Eliezer, Yitzchak Alevi Bechana. Okay, the Mishnah starts out with Hagozel Sadeh Mechaviro Unitalu Misikin. Okay, there's a whole discussion in the Gemara. Is it Misikin, Mitzikin? You can read it either way. But basically it means that if somebody steals a field from his friend and the authorities or the enemies or somebody bad comes along and takes it, Im Makam Medinahi, if it's that they're taking everybody's property, then Omer Lo Haresha Chalafanecha, then he can say, look, this is your property. You could take it back from whoever stole it from me. It's not my fault. He would have taken it whether, right? It would have been, this is like the Chamor case we learned in Bava Metzia. Right? They'll take it. They would have taken it anyway. But im machmata gazlan, if it was because of the gazlan, chayav lami lo sadeh acher. Then he has to replace it. Now, it's unclear what this means, and that's what the Gemara is going to deal with. What does it mean? Im machmata gazlan hechi dami. So eight lines from the bottom. If you're going to say it's that they took just his land and not anyone else's land, so hamiresha shamat mina, right? That would have been totally obvious already from the resha, because what did the resha say? Right? Then, if it's that they took everybody's land, but otherwise, right, you could very easily imply, but otherwise it wouldn't be the case. Now you could say, right, so that you got the Mishnah Gemara says, ilo, right? It would have been obvious. You could say, sometimes the Mishnah says obvious things, even though, right, in other words, it says this, and it says its opposite, even though, right, the inverse, right, even though you could have derived one from the other. But the Gemara doesn't want to think that right now, so what do they say? Lotzricha de'achve achvuye. Okay, remember these words. This means, we're going to see this a lot, that he showed him. He said, oh, there's some nice land over there that's mine, lying about it. In other words, it wasn't really that he stole the land. Wasn't the way we thought originally, that he stole land like the first case. He stole the land, and then the authorities came and took it over. Here's a case where he doesn't actually steal the land, but they come to rob his property, and he says, oh, that property over there, that's mine, you can take that. And really, it was somebody else's property. So while he didn't physically steal it, right, what did he do? He basically, right, through dibur, now this is always our debate we always have, we've seen this many times, how problematic is something you do when you just speak? Right? He didn't do an act. He didn't actually steal physically, but he stole through his speech. We're going to see here, there's a bit of a mix on these sigas, and remember this for the story we're going to get to, between seeing and or showing, right, the lashon of sight, between seeing and speaking, okay, between speech. Here he shows him, but also by speech, okay? There's a little bit of a combination between seeing and speaking. Okay, things you do by showing or speech. Lishna achrina, but a different way, there's a different version. Here it's some girsaot actually say that some of the texts of people don't have one of these, have one or the other. It's more like, not like an additional answer, but a different version of the answer is, hacha b'mayaskina kigon de'ansua akum. Okay, that the non-Jews forced him to show land of other people. Okay, we're going to get into a little bit how we define this forcing. We're going to see that it's not so clear. Okay, we're going to see a bunch of stories, and then I'll give you three different piskei halacha that come out of this. What happens if non-Jews force you, or what if they just come and you happen to show them of your own volition? Va'amrele achvuye arate va'achve ahu bahadayu. In other words, so what happened here? The akum came. Va'amrele, and they said to him, Achvuye Arata, show us your land. And what did he do? Va'achve hahu bahadaihu. Okay, they showed their own land, and with their own land, they also showed someone else's land. Okay? So that's like a weird case. And it's not like they just showed the other guy's land, but while they were showing their own land, they showed the other guy's land also, right? The non-Jew comes and says, you know, gunpoint, give me all your land. So he not only shows him his own land, he also shows him someone else's land. Okay, so we'll get a little bit more into this case because we're going to see today's going to be a lot of actual cases that happen. Hahu gavra, here's a case of a guy, right? Whenever it starts a hu gavra, it's a story about someone. De'achve akarya dechite de'beresh galuta. he showed the non-Jews, now why this guy did this, right? You have to be a little bit not so smart to do this, but he dafka showed the pile of chitim of the Bei Resh Galuta. Remember, the Resh Galuta was the exilarch. He was the big guy in town, right? And remember, Rav Nachman's always his rabbi who's, right? So here, Atal Kamed Rav Nachman. And obviously, what's going to happen? If you go to the Resh Galuta's rabbi, what's going to happen, right? They bring him in front of the Resh Galuta's rabbi, Rav Nachman, Chive Rav Nachman L'Shlome. Obviously, Rav Nachman made him pay. Yatip Rav Yosef, Achoreh de Rav Huna Bar Chia. V'yatev Rav Huna Bar Chia kamei de Rav Nachman. Okay, so Rav Yosef was sitting behind Rav Huna Bar Chia, who was sitting behind Rav Nachman. Amar le Rav Huna Bar Chia le Rav Nachman. Dina o knasa? So Rav Huna Bar Chia says to Rav Nachman, was this a din or was this a knas? In other words, is this halacha that you made him pay? Or was it a fine that you put upon him for showing the Resh Galuta's land? So Amarle, we'll see in a minute what's the relevance. Okay, that's where Rav Yosef is going to come into the picture. Notice they showed Rav Yosef, Rav Huna Bar Chia, and then Rav Nachman. So right now it's the middle guy is asking Rav Nachman. Soon Rav Yosef is going to ask, like, what was the difference? Why did you care? So Amarle, Matnitin hi, it's a Mishnah, it's a first Mishnah, Ditnan, im machmata gazlan chayav la midlo sadeh, v'ukim nad achvuya achvei. Right? So in other words, if you read our Mishnah, the way the first interpretation was that if you show someone else's land, okay, we're going to call this, by the way, this is a moser, right? It's someone who's moser. He's like a malshin, right? He's a little bit of a tattletale, right? So, oh, there's some good land over there, right? So now, and if we establish that Mishnah, that it's about achvuya achve, when he shows him, so then, is chayav la midlo sadeh. Batar dinafik, after Rav Nachman left, amar le Rav Yosef le Rav Huna Bar Chia, right? He didn't have the chutzpah to say it in front of Rav Nachman, but he says it to Rav Huna Bar Chia, my nafka lachmina, idina uknasa. What's the difference? Amale, idina gamrina mine. If it was a law, then we can derive from here to other cases. Iknasa, we can say it was a unique case in lo gamrina mine. So now we say, wait, the assumption of that question is that if it were a knas, we wouldn't learn from there. So we're going to question that right now. Umina timra dimi knasa lo gamrina. Titania, here we're going to learn now that from knas you don't learn to other cases, and then they're going to reject this proof. But first they're going to try to bring a proof. Titania, barishona yomrim hamitameh v'hamenaseh. We learned this before. Originally they would say that if you were mitameh someone's stuff, or you were menaseh their yayin, right? Which is basically what did we talk about? This is hezek she'eino nikar. You remember this category? It's you do damage to something that is not noticeable damage. So originally they said you had to pay for this. Okay, Chazru Lamar Af Hamidamea. Then they said later. They said, you know what? We're going to include in here the midamea. What's the midamea? He's someone who mixes truma with chulin, so thereby messing up the whole pile, because then the whole pile becomes safek truma. So Chazru In Lo Chazru Lo. What do you see from here? Only because they made gzera on the midamea was it an issue. But had they not made it, we wouldn't have learned the knas from the other ones onto the knas of this. So now they say, no, that's not the reason why. My taima, la mishum de knasu, knasa lo gamrina mine, lo, meikar savre, lehe. Now we're going to say we distinguish between the first two cases and the last case. Why? The first two cases are hefse meruba chashashu, but lehefse muat lo chashashu. Originally they thought we're only going to say, even though, right, it's hezek she'eino nikar and shim b'chayiv, we're going to be b'chayiv people, and that's because it's a hefse meruba. Why? Because once you're metame, even the prushim, if you remember, ate stuff b'taharat ha-kodesh, and therefore messed it up for everybody. And the menasech, once you're menasech yayin, it's asur bahana. Whereas when it comes to the medamea, you can even, what you can do is, you can sell, since all of it's suffic truma, but it's not badai truma, you can sell it to the kohen for a very low price. So it's only a hefseh muat, because you can actually get monetary value for it. Not the full price, but therefore, lehefseh muat nami chashish, ulevasof savre, lehefseh muat nami chashishu. So therefore, we can't say, if this were knas, right? We couldn't have learned from here to other things. No, we could have. We just would only be able to learn from it to things that were similar. And this other gzera wasn't similar. Now again, they question. So you're trying to say that from knas you can learn to other things? Ini. Vahatane abuah to Rabbi Avi. Now we're going to see a different version of this braita in a different order, right? We have three things. And we said two that were gozer, the other one, they were only gozer later. Now we're going to have a different version. Barish, this is Rabbi Avin's version of the braita. Barishonah yomrim ha-mitameh v'ha-midameh. First they said just the mitameh and the midameh were going to be kones that you have to pay back. B'chazru lamar afa minaseh. So now you see again, chazru in, lo chazru lo, which sounds like you can't learn from knas, because if you were able to learn from knas, then they would have been gozer on nisuch from the very beginning. So my time, alam mishum de lo gamrina miknasa, and then they say lo, meikara savre ki rabbi avin, ulavasaf savre ki rabbi yirmiya. Now they say, okay, the minasech, now it didn't make sense according to what we've said before about the minasech being only added later, because that's a major loss of money, right? So now they're going to say this version of Rabbi Avin had to do with something totally different. It had to do with a different machloket. Okay, now we're going to get into, if you remember, kimle b'derabba mine, we talked about it on Friday and many other times, where if you have two things that you did wrong in the same moment, now it has to be at the same moment, that's key. And then if you do two things, and one is mechayev yumita, and one is mechayev yumamon, in one act, so you're not chayev in the mamon. So now we're going to see why they thought originally that you weren't chayev in the minasech, and why later they said you are. Because remember, if you do nisuch, if you drink the nisuch, you're chayev otherwise, right? So now, in other words, there's isur involved in nisuch. Right, nisuch hayayin. That was yayin that was offered up for avodah zarah. So, in other words, what did you do here? You took someone's wine and you offered it up to avodah zarah. So by doing that, that's worshipping avodah zarah. It's your chayev mavet. So that's why we're going to see they didn't think that you were chayev for tashlumin on it. You follow? It has nothing to do with, right? Is it connected? It has nothing to do with those other two cases. It's just a third on the list, but they're totally different things. Okay, so now, what do we have here? So first they held like Rabbi Avin, eventually they held like Rabbi Yirmiya. Let's see. Meikara sabak Rabbi Avin. Da'amar Rabbi Avin zarak chetz mitchilat arba ulevasof arba. I think the words are different. Right, lesof arba. Okay, it reads like this: zarak chetz mitchilat arba lesof arba. You're shooting an arrow on Shabbat. Okay, well, what happens if you move something arba amon on Shabbat? You're chayav. If you remember this goes way back to Shabbat. Those who learn Shabbat with us, there's two parts of. Being mavir chepet rishudar beim arba amot. There's the akira when it leaves the spot and when it reaches the spot. So, what happened in this case? You shot an arrow from here 4 amot away. Bikara shirayin b'halichato. And as you were shooting this arrow, somebody's clothesline was there, and there were silk clothes hanging there. And you poke the arrow, right? The arrow went straight through the clothing and tore it. So now, patur, you're patur from the damage you did to the shirayim. Why? Sharei akira tzorech hanachahi umitchayev benafsho. Akira is the first act, right? Even though you haven't yet, akira means when you shot it, right? At the moment you shoot it, now it hasn't gone 4 amot yet. But the whole point of why you're being okir is in order to shoot the dalet amot. So therefore, already you're beginning to be mitchayev in hotzah, right, in havara, arba amot b'rishud harabim, at that moment. So therefore, since the akira was for the purpose of hanacha, putting it down in that other spot, therefore the whole act is viewed as one act. And therefore, while it was happening, and you were mitchayev b'shabbat, you shot through someone's clothes, you tore it, that's kim le b'derabba mineh. It all happened at the same time. But what happened? And then what's the issue here? With the nis minasech, when are you chayv in stealing? As soon as you pick up someone's wine to go offer it up to avodah zarah, what have you done? The moment you lift it, you're mitchayev in gizela. But you're not chayv in nisuch until you pour it. But what does Rabbi Avin say? He says, just like akira tzorech hanacha, Hagbaha is litzorech nisuch. You picked it up in order to be menasech. So the moment you picked it up, you were already going to be mitchayev. And as you're already, it was the beginning of the act of the nisuch. So therefore, you're already in the process of the act of nisuch, even though you haven't started offering up to avodah zarah. And therefore, you're going to be pater from the nisuch. Then what happened? Why did they later be gozer on the nisuch? Because levasof savri ki Rabbi Yirmiya, who obviously is going to disagree with this concept. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, mishat hagbaha kanye. As soon as you lifted it, you were already kone it. Okay? And then, ichayev le mamon, and therefore ichayev le mamon, but mitchayev binafsho lohave as shat nisuch. He says, just because you lifted it in order to be menasech, you're not chayev nisuch until you actually are menasechet for the avodah zarah. So therefore, he distinguishes between those two acts. He would say the same thing by Shabbat, that Akira is not Tzarech Hanacha, right? You're only Chayev in Shabbat once it gets to the four Amot. This is like a great question, and we're going to talk about this in the story. Also, we're going to see about when you intend to do an act, but you haven't yet done it. Okay, this is going to be the connection, right? We always look when we see a story, and we're going to get to a really interesting story today, what the connections are. So this is one of the connections. One of the connections are when someone's about to do something but hasn't yet done it, do we view that as they've already done it? Okay, which is a little unfair, right? We've mentioned this before in different cases. I always like to make reference to that movie, Heaven Can Wait, where he's in the motorcycle and he's going through this tunnel. He's this big sports player, and then the angel takes him up to heaven before he gets into this horrible car accident because he wants to save him, the horrible injury. The guy gets up to heaven and says, but I didn't die. I'm this big football player. I could have saved myself. What are you talking about? How did you know I was actually going to die? So there's a little bit of that issue. How did you know you're actually going to do it? When he picks it up, yes, he's doing it with the intent to do nisuch, but maybe he'll change his mind, and he won't. So maybe the act is not connected. That's the whole question here. Okay, so now, in any case, what do we show here? That we're still unclear about whether you can prove from these sources anything about, can you learn from Knas to other things or not? And in each case, they said, the cases are different, so you can't really learn anything about it here. Rav Huna bar Yehuda ikla lebe Avyone. He got to Avyone's house, ata lekamei derava, amarle kluma asecha bali adcha. He says, did you ever have a case of a moser? Anything like this ever happened? Amarle Yisrael shansu avde kochavim, v'her am amon chavero, bali adi v'chiyavtiv. There was a case of Yisrael that the goyim were... non-Jews were put him up to it, and he showed Mamon Chavero, it came to my hands, and I was Machayev him. So Amarle, Hadar Uvda Lamari, wait, what did you do? You have to give the money back. Ditanya, don't we know from a bright to Yisrael Shansu of De Kochavim, Vihara Mamon Chavero Patur. He's Patur if he was forced into it and he showed his friends money, he's Patur. V'im natal v'natan biyad chayav. Only if he physically gave the property to the other person. If he didn't do it with his own hands, it's just dibor or showing, right? And he's not chayav. Again, this is because he was forced into it, right? Whereas if they were forcing you, then obviously you'd be chayav, or at least it seems. But if they're forcing you, then no. Amar Rabba im her ame atzmo kenasav v'natan biyad dami. Rabba says, no, I disagree with you. If he showed him himself, then it's as if he did it with his hands. Okay, this is like the whole debate. By just showing it, is that enough or not? Hahu gavra dan tuov de kochavim v'af be'achamra. Okay, he showed him a chamra de Rav Mary b'rei de Rav Pinchas b'rei de Rav Chisda. He shows him the chamor of Rav Mary b'rei de Rav Pinchas, okay, b'rei de Rav Chisda. Amarle, dari v'amte b'hadan dara v'amte b'hadayhu. He says to him, Right, take it. The non-Jews say to him, go take it and bring it to us. Ata the kamed Rav Ashi. It came up before Rav Ashi. What's he supposed to do? Because he physically brought it, right? The non-Jews told him, you bring it, and he brought it. Patrinu, he says, you're Pater. Wait a minute, didn't we just say, if he does it with his own hands, he's Chayav. Amar le-Rabbana le-Ravashi v'hatanim nasav natan b'yad Chayav, right? Doesn't they said to Ravashi, wait a minute, if he does it with his own hands, he's Chayav. Amar le-Hanemi le-Heche de lo-Ikuma ilave mi-Ikara. That's only if they couldn't have done it themselves, the non-Jews. Aval Heche de-Ukmi ilave mi-Ikara mikle kalye. This is a very interesting halacha. What does he say? If the non-Jews come and say, show me land, and he shows someone else's land, so then he's patur because he hasn't done it with his yad. Now it splits into two. If the non-Jews go and get it themselves, then fine. If the non-Jews are lazy and they say, you go bring it to us, at that point he was already patur because he was allowed to do it because he was forced by the non-Jews. The fact that he did it with his yad is only like he's their shaliach, so to speak. They would have gotten it anyway. And therefore he's patur in that case. Whereas if they ask him for land and before he even shows them, he picks up, the land, property, whatever it is, and it would have to be more metaltzel, and he picks up the metaltzel and he brings it to them, then he'll be chayav. But if he first shows them, then he actually ends up being patur. Okay? So Eitive Rabbi Yavahu Ravashi. Amalo Anas, Hoshit li Pkia Amir Zeh, O Eshkol Anavim Zeh, Bohoshit lo Chayav. But wait a minute. There's a case where the Anas says, go give me this Pakia, or go give me this Eshkol Anavim, where the non-Jew could have gotten it himself, and he tells him, go do it, and he brings it, he's Chayav. So what are the answers now? Hacha b'mayaskinan kigon d'kahai b'trei avrei nara. It's when they were on the other side of the river, and he couldn't, the non-Jew couldn't actually get in himself, and only because he physically brought it to him was he mitchayev. And daikanami d'katane, and you can see that even from the source, because it said, hoshit velotane ten, shema amina. Right? He says, you know, extend to me that thing. Obviously, he couldn't reach it. Otherwise, he would have just said, give it to me. Okay, so the fact that it says Hoshit means that. Okay, so three, it's a little unclear because there's a bunch of different stories going in different directions. So I'm going to give you the Sikkum Halacha L'Maaseh. The Rambam of the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rif Paskin, that if on Suhu, okay, if the Manan just forced you, so if you did it B'yad Yer Chayav, Im Her Alo, if you just showed him your Patur, and Im, Im Chivu, what did I write here? Right. If they forced him, then he's patur. If they didn't force him and he shows someone else's property, they just said, you know, we want some money, but they didn't, wasn't forced, then it's fine. Then he's chayav. Rav Haigon, Rabbeinu Chananel, and Rabbeinu Ephraim have a different approach. They say, if they forced you, you're always patur. Whether, you know, tam b'yad or not, once you're forced by the non-Jews, you're always patur. And you're only chayav in the case where you gave more than what they asked for. Okay, right? You can imagine that case. Like, you want to mess someone else up so that you're not the only one out money, so you give them even more than they ask for, then you're going to be the chayav. The Ravid comes up with an in-between. And what does he do? He distinguishes between different types of ones. He said there's ones where they're going to kill you or torture you, then you're patur. But if it's ones that they're just going to confiscate money from you, then you're chayav. In other words, then that's not an ones. And he distinguishes, he has his middle position, depends on what kind of ones. And that can reconcile some of the contradictions in the sugya. Okay, now we get to a really good story. Oh no, not yet. We're getting there, I think. I can't remember if this is the beginning of it or not. Okay. Hahu shota dahava minse ale betre, right? This is just a short one. There was a net that two guys were fighting over. Hayamar didihu, vahayamar didihu. This is our lead-in, by the way, to Shnayim Achazim Batalit that we're going to see in the beginning of Bava Metzia. Okay, this one says it's mine, this one says it's mine. There's always references at the end of a mesechet to the next mesechet. Azachab minayu umasra lefarhagna. So one of them takes the item and gives it to the king. Okay? In other words, the king was asking for something. He said, instead of giving my own money, I'll give something that we're fighting about anyway, right? In other words, I don't know if I'll ever see this anyway because I'm fighting with this guy about it. I'll just give it to the king when he wants his whatever. Amar Abaye, Yachol Amar, Anaki Masre, Didi Masre. Abaye could say, look, I think it's mine. I gave him my stuff. What are you bothering me about? The other guy can't have a claim against him. Amar le Rava, v'chol kamine? What are you talking about? That doesn't work in this case because it wasn't fully his, right? Until he proves it. Ela amar Rava, mishamtina le adam maitele v'kai bedina. Okay, in other words, you put the guy in nidui until, this is really interesting, the Mefreshim say, right, here it says until he brings back the item, even if it costs him a lot of money to redeem the item from the non-Jew, from the king, right? He's got to pay a lot of money to get the item back and bring it to deem with someone else. Obviously, they wanted to prevent people from doing this. So Rava said, this is going to be serious until he actually kai bedina, until he stands bedim with the other guy and figures out who's who. Okay, here we go with our long story. Hahu gavra to have a bai achvuye ativna dechavre. He wanted to, remember this word, he wanted to show, right, to someone else, right, someone was coming for to take stuff of his. He wanted to show the tevin, the straw of his friend. Right. By the way, this whole thing is interesting that the story is all about straw. Right. Straw is like kind of not a lot of money. This whole big story is going to be all about straw. So he wants to show the straw of his friend. Atzal kamei de rav. He goes before the rabbi before he does this to check if is it okay if he does this. Amar le lo tichve velo tichve. Okay, this double lashon. Do not show it. Do not show it. Amar le machvina umachvina. Okay, now why he went to the rabbi, I don't know. But what does he say? I'm going to show it. I'm going to show it. Almost like I'm going to show you. Yativ Rav Kahana kamei de rav. Rav Kahana was sitting there in front of Rav. He sees what's going on. He says, I can't believe this guy has so much chutzpah in front of Rav. What does he do? Okay, like in all good stories, Shante Lekoe Mine. He cracks his neck and he kills the guy. Okay? Yeah, kills the guy. Okay. Kare Rav Ilave. Rav writes about this. Banecha ulfu shukvu berosh kol chutzot kito michmar. Your children are lying out like a shore in a trap. Okay, like an ox in a trap. What does this mean? This is a reference to the Jews in Galut. And he's saying, we're living, this is a reference, by the way, to the Moshe story. Remember when Moshe killed the Mitzri and he had to run away because the Mitzrim were going to get him in trouble? So what Rav is saying is, you were right for killing him, okay? Which is very interesting, because again, what did this guy do, going back to what we said before? He just said he was going to do it. Now, whether he was going to do it or not is a whole separate story, right? Maybe part of what he did wrong was the fact that he had chutzpah to say it in front of Rav.
That's quite, that's not chayav.
Ah, yafeh. So now there's a whole debate, why is he chayav mita if he did it? So the Mefarshim tried to explain, well, if he's moser someone else's property, what's going to happen? Okay, this is like, you know, mixed dancing, what it leads to, right? In other words, what's going to be here? If he gives the non-Jew one thing of the guy's property, the non-Jew's going to want more and more and more, and the guy won't want to give it, and he'll eventually get killed by the guy. So therefore, he was basically endangering the life of the other guy, which is almost like he was a rodef. We're going to see the term rodef come up later today also. And therefore, he was allowed to kill him. Okay, now this... all sorts of things, by the way, we're going to get to it when we see the sugya in Sanhedrin about kimleh, but that kimleh is a part of the function of, you're functioning like the Beit Din. Now, even though nowadays, right, and even in those days, they didn't have the death penalty anymore. But in a case where someone sees someone doing something and can prevent it, he's allowed to kill him. Okay, so even nowadays, you're allowed to kill if, you know, particular situations. Now, why this is exactly that circumstance, like I said, it's a little up for debate. That's the best explanation they can give, which is that he would have eventually gotten killed, and he was basically being most of this guy for Mavet, okay, down the road. So now, what's the reference to this shore? Ma toze, to is a shore, kevan de nafal b'michmar eim rachamin alav. Just like once he falls in a trap, no one's going to have rachmanut on this ox. This is what he's saying, okay? This is what I just said, which is, once the mamon goes in the hands of the non-Jews, eim rachamin alav. This goes with the other sugyot that we were seeing, that this is in a certain historical time period where they very much saw the non-Jews as a big threat to them. Okay, would probably match the same time period when they wouldn't want to put the candles in public for Hanukkah because of the danger, okay?
So basically saying, because he was going to give them the money, they were going to kill him.
They would eventually kill this guy, and therefore the guy who was trying to be moser that guy's stuff was basically as if he was moser the guy to get killed. And therefore, by killing him, he prevented, and that's why this was only in potential. The fact that he wanted to do this, if we had let, that's why it's a rodeo. If we had let him do it, he would have been moser the other guy to death down the road. So therefore, it was okay to kill him. However, what does Rev say to him? Okay? Ad ha'id amale Rav Kahana himself says, ad ha'id nahabu parsai de lo kapte ashvichot damim. Some people have the opposite nusach, which makes more sense. But until now, let's do it the opposite. The Yivanim were in charge, and they didn't care if we killed other people. But hashda ika parsai de kapte ashvichot damim. Now the Parsim are in charge of us, and they really care if we kill other people. Vamrinan mardin mardin. And they're saying, murder, murder. Here it's interesting, it's the same Lashon, okay? Murder, murder. You're a murderer. So what did he do? So Rav tells him, Kum sach la'aretz Yisrael. Go to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, run away. Okay, it's like almost like Yitzchak, right? Like Yitzchak telling Yaakov, before Esav kills you, go run away. Okay, there's all these references in the story. V'kabil alach, but now what does he say? While it's true it was okay, you killed him, however, there's something not right about what you did, okay? There's a whole big machloka. What was wrong about what he did, and why is this the punishment he gets? We'll talk about it at the end of the story. You're not allowed to question Rabbi Yochanan when you get to Eretz Yisrael for 7 years, okay? This is like, what's the punishment? It's a punishment in Dibor, right? This is going to connect with what we were talking about. Someone being Moser, okay? He does it just with Dibor alone. He has to control his speech. By the way, not right, keeping your mouth shut is a lot harder than actually speaking, especially if you're Rav Kahana, who likes to question. We're going to see immediately how difficult this task is for him. So that's his punishment. Atel Eshkache L'Rish Lakish. First guy he meets there is Rish Lakish. He had to become sign mitivta diyoma l'rabbana. He's sitting there, telling over the stuff that Rabbi Yochanan taught to the rabbis. Amar lehu Rish Lakish, he says to them, Rish Lakish hecha. In other words, he heard Rish Lakish saying it, then I guess Rish Lakish walked away. He says, where's Rish Lakish? Amule amai. They say, why? Amar lehu, hai kushya v'hai kushya, v'hai peruka v'hai peruka. I have this question on what he said, I have that question on what he said, I have this answer on what he asked, and I have this answer on what he asked. Okay, again, you see the double lashon, by the way. This is just like a literary thing. Amrulei Rish Lakish. Amrulei Rish Lakish. They went and told Rish Lakish. Aza Rish Lakish, right? They said, oh my God, there's this brilliant guy here. He asked all these questions. He answered all these answers. Whoa. So Aza Rish Lakish, Amalei the Rabbi Yochanan. And he comes to Rabbi Yochanan and he says, Ari Alami Bavel, a lion has come up from Babel. We'll talk about this in 1 second. Le'ayin mar b'mitivta d'lemachar. You better be brushed up on your stuff for tomorrow's shir. Okay? Now, because he's going to ask you lots of questions. You can see where this is going, right? Remember, he's not allowed to ask Rabbi Yochanan any questions. So, what is Ari? Ari is like a double thing, right? It's someone great. He's the king of the jungle, but he's also scary. Now, Rish Lakish is clearly scared of him. And he's telling Rabbi Yochanan, now, we'll talk about this why later, where there's this power struggle. So now, this, by the way, I'll already tell you, this is going to be, if we've talked about this before, the struggle between the Bavlim and the Eretz Yisraelim, right? There's the whole power struggle, and the Bavlim, as the center moved to Bavel, Eretz Yisrael was trying to keep their hold on the authority. But there's all these sugyas, particularly in the Bavli, that strengthen the Bavli rabbis and show the Eretz Yisraelim are, you know, not so great. So here they're showing the Israelis were scared of the Bavlim. L'machar otve b'dara kama kamed Rabbi Yochanan. So they sit him right up in the front row. If you remember, the Beit Midrash was set up in rows, and depending on how smart you were put in the front row or the back row. Okay, if you were not smart, you got put in the back row. Amar shmatita v'lo ekshe. Shmatita v'lo ekshe. Again, the double lashon. He taught something, he didn't ask a question. He taught another thing, he didn't ask a question. Anchate achore sheva dare ad otve b'dara batra. He kept moving him back row by row by row as he saw he wasn't asking any questions. He said, obviously, this guy is not as smart as they think until he gets to the back row. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan l'Rish Lakish, Arish amarta naseh shu'al. The Ari you brought is really just a fox. In other words, he deceived you guys, and he's really a nobody. Amar, so what does Rav Kahana say? He said, oh my God, this is such a busha for him, right? Can you imagine? He comes, this big Talmid Chacham, he comes, such a busha. Amar, Yehei Rav Adahane Sheva Dare, Lehavu Chiluf Sheva Shnin Da Amar Li Rav. He says, those 7 rows I got put back should be in place of the 7 years I wasn't allowed to ask Rav a question. Meaning, now my punishment is, you know, I did my kapara. This was, now think about why it sounds a little silly, but that was really painful for him, right? The fact that he had to basically keep his mouth shut, be totally humiliated and embarrassed as if he doesn't know anything, was enough humiliation for him. He said, you know, it was like a prayer. I want those to count as my 7 years. Kam akare, he gets up. Amar le nehadra mar bereisha. He says, I'm going to be put up back in the front. Amar shmatita ve'ekshe. Ukme bedara kama. Amar shmatita ve'ekshe. Okay, in other words, basically, he keeps, right? He makes it to the front row. After he gets to the front row, he says another thing and he asked a question on it. Rabbi Yochanan havayati v'sheva bistarke. He was sitting. Now, okay, this is again image. This is stories. He was sitting on 7 mattresses high. In other words, the rabbi was always higher than the students. So what happens here? After he asked another question, shalfe lechada bistarka mitote. He took off 1 cushion. Amar shmatite v'ekshele ad shalfe lekule bistarke mitote ad yatival ara. Okay, you can imagine what the Bavlim are trying to set up here. The total decline of the rabbis of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan gavar sabahava. He was old. Umisarche gvine, and his eyebrows were covering his eyes and he couldn't see. Okay, again, this vision thing, right? The whole thing started with the Moser who was going to show something that they didn't see to somebody else. So now Rabbi Yochanan can't see well. Amarlu, he says to his people, now again, you see the glory of Eretz Yisrael. Dalu le'ene, please reveal my eyes. Ve'echzie, I want to see this guy. Okay, I want to see this guy. Now, what happened here? It was all deception. He couldn't see him. He couldn't, you know, he missed. Read him. He misjudged him. The guy didn't ask questions. He assumed, right? He couldn't see his facial expression, whether he was really b'inyanim or not. He said, obviously, this guy doesn't know anything, right? Now he wants to see him. Dalulei b'mikhalta d'kaspa. They lifted his eyebrows with a utensil made out of silver. In other words, again, they're trying to show how grand the whole thing was. Chaza d'parte svate. He saw that his lips were cracked. This is a deformity that he had that made him look like he was smiling. Savar achuch kamachayich be. He thought he was making fun of him. Okay, the story gets better. Chalash date. So Rabbi Yochanan thought that, right, in other words, this is always what he was obviously feeling low. He thought that Rav Kahana was laughing at him, so he got very angry. What happens when rabbis get angry? Nach nafshe. Rav Kahana dies because he realized, what did he do? He caused Rabbi Yochanan such embarrassment, you know, and he didn't mean to do that. He was just trying to ask his question, and he dies. Lamachar, Amalehu Rabbi Yochanan Rabbanan. Chazitu Lebavlai Hechi Abid. Next day, Rabbi Yochanan says to the rabbis, did you see what that guy, that Bavli guy, was doing to me? Amule Darke Hachi. That's the way he looks. Like, you know, you didn't get it. He's always like that. Okay? Al Legabe Ma'aratza. So obviously, Rabbi Yochanan feels terrible. He caused this guy's death for no reason. He misread the situation, right? This is constant misreading. Chazit Dehava Hadra Le'achna. What happened? There was a nachash on the where the cave was. Remember, they buried people in caves. You ever go to Beit Sha'arim? It's all the caves there. So they buried him in caves, and there was a nachash on the cave. Right? This again is reference to Chet Adam Kadmon. Also reference to the nachash Nechoshet who saved the people. Amalei achna achna. By the way, if you notice, achna achna sounds kind of like kahana kahana. Okay, you see the words. Achna achna ptach pumech v'yikanes harav etzel atamid. Okay, please open the door so the rav can go visit the talmid. V'lo patach. So now he says, yikanes chaver etzel chaver. How about a colleague to a colleague? V'lo patach. Yikanes talmid etzel rav. Okay, now he says, well, how about I'm a talmid and he's my rav? Patach le. Okay, he opens the cave. Bai rachame v'okme. He brings him back to life. Amar le, but not yet exactly. Amar le. And as Hussein brings it back to life, and he says, listen, had I realized that's the way you looked, I never would have gotten angry at you. Hashtalete mar bahadam, please come back to my Beit Midrash. Amarle, imatit lemive rachame de tu lo shchivna azilna. Vilo lo. If you beg rachamim for me, this is a good question what this means, either that I will never die again, okay, could be he experienced death and it was so horrible and he doesn't want to go through it again, or he's saying that I won't die on account of you anymore, that you won't get, you know, it's, obviously your baby trash is dangerous, and I don't want to go there unless you're making a commitment to me that you're not going to get angry at me again. Vilo lo azilna, ho'il v'chalif shata chalif. Okay, there's different interpretations of what this means. Either the time of death already passed me and I don't want to go back there again, or maybe it means I already was saved once like this, I don't want to, you know, play any games anymore. Tyre okme, okay, he wakes him up and he brings him back to life. Shaile kol sveka dahavile upaschin huniale. He asked him all the svekot he had and he answered the questions. Okay? So, hainu da'amar Rabbi Yochanan, clincher of the story. This is what people have heard Rabbi Yochanan say many times, and it comes from the story. Dilchon amre, dilchon hi. I thought that it was ours, the Torah, but now I see that it was theirs, the Bavlim. In other words, they have the rights to the Torah. They know everything, okay? Now, by the way, it's very interesting, because if I asked you, Rabbi Kahana, Rabbi Yochanan, who would you think was greater? I'm sure you would all tell me Rabbi Yochanan. Like, he's got a much bigger name. So it's funny they're using Rabbi Kahana for this story. Okay, there's a ton of interesting things here. We're not going to get into all of them. But I think what's going on, one of the things here is, again, the ri'iyah and the dibur and the misjudging, right? Like, people are misjudging other people. People are... this connects, by the way, with a few other stories we saw way back at the very beginning, the one with Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel, where the Bavli is bringing up stories trying to highlight the troubled nature of relationships in the Beit Midrash, and the way people are jealous, and people are trying to exert their authority, and people are saying, I'm better than you, and the whole, in other words, there's a bunch of themes going on here. One is the Bavlim are better than the Eretz Yisraelim, and one is, you know, Rabbi Yochanan was so worried about his kavod, right, and that's in the end what caused him to accidentally kill somebody. And Rav Kahana, you know, has to ask his questions because he's so brilliant, has to show his brilliance, and it's so hard for him to control it. And the whole way of dealing with things, even going out and killing someone, like, that's not exactly the way we deal with things, right? And there has to be, there was some extremism among the rabbis, and also just, you know, they needed to work on their internal relationships. Part of what was going on in the Bavli Beit Midrash was very rough in the Beit Midrash, and that's why Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim all died because of Sinat Chinam, right? It's not that that's what happened, that's what the Bavlim in the time of the Amoraim are retelling these stories of, you know, older stories based on the issues that they wanted, just like a rabbi's speech, right? To kind of inspire the people on the issues that they're struggling with. They use these stories as ways to kind of do that. Okay. Oh, one of the... I forgot to talk about the why he's not allowed to ask questions. So there were two interpretations I saw. One is the Maharsha. He says it was tshuva for being moreh halacha b'fnei rabo. Again, it was a kavod issue. Rav was right there. Rav could have judged the guy. Why did Rav Kahana get up and do it himself? And the Iyun Yaakov says that it actually wasn't a punishment. he was trying to teach him that there was a different etiquette in Eretz Yisrael than there was in Babel. And that the way you ask questions here is not the way you ask questions there, which also highlights the difference between the Batei Midrash. I taught it way back when we taught the story of Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Gamliel, that the version of the Yerushalmi is totally different from the version of the Bavli. The Bavli highlights all this internal turmoil, whereas the Yerushalmi barely has that, because that wasn't an issue that was going on there. First of all, their Batei Midrash were much smaller and much less, and they just didn't have that kind of tension, whereas the tension really existed in the Bavli Batei Midrash, and that's what they were talking about. And it goes back to the story of the Moser, because, again, he's doing something bidibur, like all the problems here came from speech. Speech and showing, and you know, and you have to be very careful, right? We think, speech not as important, ma'asim are the worst, but right, this whole sugya is all about speech.
That's interesting about the snake having its tail in its mouth.
Yeah, yafes. So I didn't talk about right. Yafes. So the snake had its tail in its mouth. Thank you. Like having your foot in your mouth and watch what you say.
And what you say and
right.
How you should humble yourself.
And what it could come to. So anyway, very interesting stories. Okay, let's go on a little bit more. Hahu de achme amtaksa de Rabbi Abba. Okay, you showed the silk of Rabbi Abba. We're gonna have all different stories of Mosrim. Yatav Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka, the Yatav Rabbi Eli Gabayu. Okay, these rabbis were all together. Savor lechiyuve. They thought to be mechayevim. Mehaditna, and here we're going to have again, just by speech you can be chayav. And here they're going to bring a different case. Danatadin zikat hachayav v'chayevet hazakai. We saw this before. If the judges rule incorrectly, timeh tatahor v'tihera tatameh, mash asa asui, there's nothing they can do. They can't return the money from the one guy to the other, but yishalem mibeto. They have to pay out of pocket. So here you see the dibor, you can be responsible for it, and therefore they were mechayav, the guy who showed the silk. Amale Rabbi Ila, but who he was there, and he said, wait, Hachi Amarav, Vuhushana Savanatam Biyad, it's only if he did it with his own hands. So now, right, they don't like that psak, right? So what does he do? This is another good thing. He goes to somebody else. Amrele Zila Gabej Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim, they tell him. By the way, if you go to this rabbi, by the way, I forgot to mention, this is all Dina Degarme, because it's indirectly causing damages. You're not doing an act. But what you do is causing damage to somebody else. So I know that these guys judge, you know, people told him, go to these rabbis because we know that they're mechayev for Dina de Karmi, and they'll be mechayev, the guy to return you your silk. And they were mechayev based on our Mishnah. Right? And they were mechayev our Mishnah. Now, it depends. There were two ways to be mechayev in the Mishnah. But they said our Mishnah is when you show someone, and therefore, you know, you're moser, you're going to be chayev. Okay, Ahu Gavradaba Mafkid Le Kasa de Kaspa. There was a guy who someone was mafkid, left a picadon in a tass of a silver cup. Sliku Gambe Ilave, robbers came. What did he do? Shakle Yave Lehu. They gave him the silver cup that was someone else's. Atil Kamede Rabba Patre. Rabba Patred them. Amale Abaye. Haimatil Atzmoba Mamon Chaberahu. This guy was saving his own stuff because of his friends. What's that all about? Ela Amaravashi Chazinan. It depends on the situation. We go look and we see. Iinish Amidhu, if he was a wealthy guy, then Adata Dide Atu. Then they obviously came for the wealthy guy's stuff, and the fact that he gave over this silver cup of someone else was bad that he did, and he's responsible. But Elo, if he wasn't a wealthy guy, then obviously the robbers knew that the silver cup was there, and that's what they were coming for. And therefore, Adata Dikaspa Atu, and therefore it was okay he gave it, because maybe that was all he had to give, and that was clearly what the robbers were after. This is an interesting one. He was holding with him the money that the city had collected. They had like a pushka for pidyon shvuyim in case someone gets taken captive. Sliku gambe ilave. So the ganavim come. What does he do? Shakla yave nielayu. He gives them the pidyon shvuyim back. Ata the kamei rava patre. Okay, they go in front of, I think this is Rabba. Yeah, in front of Rabba again, and he patres. Again, he's using, here's not public, it's public funds, but it's basically funds that could be used for someone else. Right? This is pidyon shvuyim. This guy was, okay, and the poskim though say, if it was specifically for some particular person they were collecting for pidyon shvuyim, then you couldn't use it. But since it was for general, he was allowed to use it. Okay, last story. He was bringing his chamor to the he put his chamor. He wanted to get his chamor across the water, and there were these boats that people would take across, these ferries, and he stuck the chamor on the ferry. Kamei disliku inche b'mavra, before anyone got on the boat. It actually, there's a nusach that says it was after, which makes a lot more sense. By ladbue, once he put right, these ferries weren't made for chamorim, so once he put the chamor on, the thing was about to sink. One of the guys on the boat came and threw the chamor overboard. and he drowned. Ata the kameda rabba patre, rabba patred him. Amarle Abaye v'hamatzil atzmo mol chaveru. You see the pattern here, right? Rabba was motoring all these cases, and Abaye, who was his adopted son, kept saying, "What are you doing here?" Amarle haimi ikara rodev hava. This guy was a rodev because he endangered everybody else on the ferry. That's why it makes more sense to say he put the chamor on before everybody else got on. Because if it was after, I'm sorry, after everyone else got on. Because if it was before, well, then everyone should have known it was on there and they shouldn't have gone on. But some people say, anyway, putting a chamor on a ferry just never works. So, da'amar rava rodev shaya rodev acharei chavero lahorgo v'shiber et hakelim ben shenodaf ben shekol adam patur sharei mitchayev benafsho. Right, if someone's chasing someone else to kill, and while he, so now there's an interesting halacha. While the guy who's pursuing, right, he's trying to kill someone, if he breaks kelim on the way, he's patur. Even though he's trying to kill someone, because he's trying to kill someone, he's mitchayev benafsho at that moment. Even if no one ever kills him, someone can kill him. He's got a death penalty of death on his head. This is where you see that the fact that someone can kill a rodev is like they're functioning like a beit din, because it's like he's got a punishment of a beit din on his head at that moment, and therefore he's patur from damages. V'nirdaf, what if someone's running after, right? You're being chased. So, a nirdaf sheshiber takelim shel rodev patur. Okay, if he smashes the kelim of the rodev while the rodev is chasing him, he's patur. Shelo yehe mamono chaviv alav migufo. He shouldn't worry more about his money. Oh, I'm going to have to pay this guy back money. I better not break it, and I better run around some other way, and then he might end up getting killed. In other words, he should learn that his life is valued more than his money. Aval shokol adam, but anyone else, chayav. Da'asur lahatzil atzmo b'mamon chaviro. Okay, you can't save yourself by damaging someone else's property. So the rodev's property, you can, but not your own property. Not someone else's. The rodev shahaya rodev achar rodev lahatzil. Okay, there's a rodev who is chasing a rodev, right? Who's chasing a rodev, right? He's trying to help, like, let's say, Donna, you're chasing Deb to kill her, and Aviva goes to chase you to kill you because you're going to kill Deb. So what happens there? So you're trying to help some other person, right? You're not the nirdaf, Deb, who's running, who if she damages someone else's property, she's responsible. She damages your property, she's not. But now, if Aviva comes into the picture to try to help Deb, what are we going to say? V'shiber kelim, bein shel nirdaf, and she breaks kelim on the way, whether they're the nirdafs, whether they're Deb's, or bein shel kol adam, whether anybody's, patur. Now, v'lo min adin, this isn't by law. No one ever is going to do this, because so therefore we allow them carte blanche to do whatever they need to basically try to save lives. Okay, and this goes back to the beginning of the story, right? What was Rav Chana trying to do? He was trying to save lives. In other words, now whether he did it the right way or not, you know, but it's all this connection of, you know, the way they perceive the non-Jews is as threatening them, and the, you know, if they're trying to kill you, then you're allowed to. There's all this thing about basically where you draw the lines and how you know whether they're trying to kill you or not and which case counts as that. And maybe that was also part of what Rav Kahana did wrong, is maybe he misjudged the situation. That's why I thought the theme was all about misjudging. It was all a judgment. Is this guy going to end up getting this other guy killed or not? And was he right or wrong? So Rav was saying, you're kind of right, but you're also kind of wrong. You have to do some tshuva for what you did. It wasn't like a perfectly clear cut. And you have to always be careful how you judge people. So Rabbi Yochanan was, you know, had the issue, and Rav Kahana had the issue. And how you judge people, you always have to be very cautious about it. Okay.